Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Energy Speaks Back, powered by B2B Energy. My name is Paul Webb, and I'm the founder of B2B Energy, and I'm your host. And weekly, I present to you energy experts from around the world. Welcome to episode 124. Our purpose, as always, is to provide a good understanding of energy management knowledge from around the world, which is available today for us to deliver savings that impact on our planet. We would like to thank utility people who are creating a better career and future for people in our industry, and Ester Energy, who are our certificate partners. My guest today is known by all as the Green Landlady, who is also a professional investor and a property developer. Raquel also is a property coach. So without any further ado, I give you Raquel Kerriol. Good afternoon, Raquel. How are you today?
Very good, Paul. Thank you ever so much for actually having me today here. It's really a good, it's an amazing pleasure. Thank you.
Brilliant. Or should I say, hola, ¿cómo está?
Yeah, you could do that as well, since I am in Spain.
Yes. And you look very, yes. You look glowing today, Raquel. Is it nice and beautiful over there currently?
It is. This lovely sunny and weather, and I'm on a 10th floor, just overlooking the seaside. So you couldn't actually be in a nicer spot. But only just to make sure that your listeners don't get jealous, I'm just going to keep the background on rather than actually showing the reality of this.
Brilliant. I interview people all over the world, and 9 times out of 10, I'm looking at sunshine in the back. Obviously, in the UK, we've hit a brick wall, haven't we, regarding the weather? Not too good, as we discussed off air just then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. So we have met. We haven't met in person, but we have met through some training that we've done with Daniel Priestley and the Denk Group. Regarding key person of influence, and strangely we cross over slightly because you're the Green Landlady, which we're going to find out a little bit more about. So for the benefit of our audience today, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us your origin story?
Okay, so I come from Spain. I'm a property investor, professional property investor, who actually is a refurbish and build sustainably. So that's where my aim is. So during COVID, we realized that there was a need to actually move things further and actually help the industry to move towards a more sustainable future, towards a carbon zero future. And that's when the Green Landlady was born. Since then, I've been working tirelessly, lobbying for a greener, for landlords to move towards a greener future, to make sure that they upgrade the houses, that the stock that we have in the UK, 5 million homes, which are in the private rent accommodation, with an average of, with only 31% of those houses on an average of A to C EPC, then I've been looking to actually just get them upgraded and just make them greener and better, simply a better place for people to live.
Yeah. Where are they all currently sitting in regarding that grading? Are they D's and E's or further?
There's a major disparity. They talk about 65% of them are below B. So right. So there is a massive disparity. And my biggest challenge is actually when brand new developers are only developing houses to E standards, because they're just not doing the refurbishments correctly. Or they are trying to do them as cheaply as possible so that get done as quickly as possible. But the reality is that these houses are going to be nightmares in the future, because they're not going to meet the standards that the governments are going to ask us, but not worse than that. I mean, they're not going to be they're not going to be fit for purpose, because customers are wanting more and more. They want better homes. They want more insulated home, more energy efficient home. They want a lot more out of their homes that they rent out. And unfortunately, there's a lot of the stock in the UK that doesn't actually meet that demand.
Yeah. I'm surprised at that figure. That's quite a significant figure, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's a huge figure. And it's even worse when you think that the majority of the attitude in the industry is a question of, oh, well, the government is not setting the stock, therefore, until they force me, I'm not going to do anything. And you go back and you say to them, I go tirelessly talking across the UK, saying to people that, you know, the train has left the station, whether you like it or not. Wouldn't it be better if you start now and do the improvements little by little rather than actually just suddenly going all out on the last time, on the last minute? I mean, we all know we are, landlords are being squashed, profits have gone down. The government is just trying to make money out of us, trying to legislate absolutely every single part of this industry, which is great. But at the same time, it also means that there is more and more squish on the landlords that are actually trying to do the good thing. And then there's a massive amount of landlords who are still not prepared to improve because there's no benefit to them directly. Because they claim that the rents will not go up, that the people will not need all these homes, energy efficient homes, which obviously, as you and me know, this is completely BS, because these houses are going to come up and they are needed and the targets are already here. You know, for in a couple of years, you won't be able to build any more houses with gas and boilers. So why don't you start? I mean, it's just, it's mad, isn't it? The industry is going through a massive reshape, but nobody wants to do anything because nothing is set in stone. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to challenge and say, okay, even if it's not set in stone, then you want your customers to have better homes, to have energy efficient homes. You know, you don't have to do all the improvements all at once. You can take a 10-year roadmap, take it till 2035. But then by then you'll have it done. You know, take advantage of all of these grants that you are having at the moment. But it's still not being done.
I'll be honest, I'm a landlord. And when we change our tenancy, we have to do the energy assessment. I don't get to see, because I did go through an agency, I don't really get to see the report that comes back and what we need to do. So I've got flats, we're electrically heated, and I know that they've all got LEDs. The airing cupboard would be lagged as such, but that's about it. We've got Economy 7. We're doing the best we can with what we've got. I've got no control over the insulation of the walls, because that's down to the leaseholder. So my hands are a little bit tired. If I had houses, then that would be different, wouldn't it? If I was renting houses, I'd have more control over. Is that really the area of approach?
I think it depends. A lot of people say I don't have control of things, Paul. But I think it's a question of, well, for me, if your building is all electric, then I would be looking to actually install solar panels, for instance. I would be looking to see how are you making that carbon neutral? You know, how are you going? Because you are using electricity and electricity is expensive. So, you know, but then how are you making that? When you say you don't have anything to say when it comes to insulation, I always think, well, have you thought of internal insulation? Sometimes a very, very small insulation board will actually make a massive difference. So, and I think that's where we are going to. We're not going to get every single house to carbon neutral. That's impossible. There is a stock in the UK that you will never be able. There's some historical buildings that you will never be able to get them because you would destroy them in order to get them to carbon neutral. But you can do your best, you know? And I think that's what I'm after. As long as you do your best, but the regulations are coming, you are going to have to be C. You know, I have been already approached by landlords who are telling me the bank wants them to have an EPC C and they are on D and they don't know what to do in order to upgrade.
Yeah.
you know, and they are asking, and the worst part for me is that they are asking energy assessors, and energy assessors, EPC assessors, are not insured. They're not, you know, they're not trained to advise people on what to do. They're not energy experts. And because of that, it's very interesting. People is like, it's like when you are asking for investment, you know, you're asking for investment tips to your best mate who just works in down the shop. It's like, what does he know? Do you know, it's mad. Come to the right people, come to the right person. We have experts, and like us, like the Greenland Lady, there's thousands of energy experts out there, which then you will have someone who has a degree on energy, and then they will actually come out to you and then do those calculations. That they will sit down with you and they will do and give you the best advice on what to do and how to improve it. But at the end of the day, you know, there is grants out there, and those grants are going to disappear earlier or later. So the more people, I mean, I think I was looking at the Ofgem website last week, and it was still like something on the lines of £15 million, you know, just still available for funding, which are not being claimed.
So what's the funding available? What does that enable the landlord to do? If that
there's loads of different funding.
Is there a whole big list? Is there a list of things that funding can be used for?
You can go to the Energy Experts Advice, and then, you know, the website, and they will just do it. A local search for grants in my area will tell you what you have available. Each area of the UK is completely different. Yeah. But what it was actually, shocking is a few weeks ago, Mr. Cohen just returned £1.5 billion, which were meant to be for energy efficiency. You know, it was all this money was supposed to be have been put towards energy efficiency improvements, and then it just never got to the right hands because there's no communication. You know, this is not being done equally across the board. This has not been every single county in the UK doesn't have the same amount of money, so it's very hard to find. And yet again, that's one of the reasons why you've got to go to an expert to help you track what is the best thing for you to access.
So as a landlord, can they come to yourself to get advice? Is that what you provide?
We do, indeed. So we can actually just track the grants that are available, and actually we can actually just write the grant, well, apply for the grant on your behalf. Doesn't mean that we will get it.
No.
It just means that, you know, we have a lot more expertise on how to ask for the money, that's all.
And do you have what I would call an action plan to take people from D's to C's, or you show them a journey? Is that what you do as well?
That's correct. Brilliant. That is exactly what we do. So when people come to us and we do a green assessment on their homes, then we take them on a 10-year journey, up to 10 years journey, and then we tell them, actually, this is what you can actually do. This is what you can achieve. And this is how you can achieve it. It's up to you as to where you want to stop it. You know,
can you give us some examples of the technologies that you would help them with regarding the grants?
Well, in terms of grants, obviously we have installation grants, and you have grants for the bus, which is the boiler replacement scheme. You know, you have also. So you can get £5,000 for an air source heat pump, or £6,000 for a ground source heat pump. You know, you have the eco-form grants where you are actually using. But again, all these decarbonization funds comes in different ways, shapes and forms. So it depends really where you're based, that you will have different areas. At the end of the day, what we're trying to look is we're trying to make homes more energy efficient. We're not trying to do anything else. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to make things as efficient as possible. So things could go from a simple, some people might just need radiator foils behind their radiators. Some people might just need, they will need windows. They will just need a boiler replacement. They will just need everything. I mean, at the end of the day, the government is pushing for a gas-free world, isn't it? So So you are going to have to go with whatever the available technology is there. And at the moment, that is air source heat pumps. Yeah. And I say air because obviously ground source heat pumps are very restricted as to where you can fit them. But yeah.
One question is on my mind. What is, where's the best you've got? So you started with a D. Have you got them past C to B, nearly to A's? Have you ever achieved A?
Have we achieved A yes. So far? In my own portfolio, all my personal houses are all above C. Right. So we are all B's and C's.
Good.
On my company portfolio, we are not. We're working with very old houses and we are working. I mean, I am one of the landlords myself that are trying to move little by little those houses abroad.
Yeah.
You know, I do own in Bedford blocks of flats that actually are Victorian flats and they're a nightmare where I had to do everything from repointing, internal insulation, floor insulation. I had to put, I've put solar panels. I've done anything and everything that I think is done. But my approach is, I believe, is a bit different than the normal landlord. I reinvest every single penny that I earn into the houses so that when I come to a future, they will be, I will be way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Victorian places. Are you suffering with things like asbestos? Is that a bit of a
lucky me, no. Right. No, because they were Victorian buildings, but when we developed them originally, then we took all of that out already. Right. So we took the specialist companies and took them out, and then that meant that when we built a bar, so we normally bought shops, and then we would just build flats above the shops.
Yeah.
And on high streets and things like this. So most of the time, we have dealt with asbestos at the very beginning when we first bought the shop and we refurbished it originally.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually do anything else afterwards.
And then once you've implemented all your energy management, how much energy do you look to buy sort of renewable? Do you buy green energy as well? Do you have a solution for that?
That's correct. So all my tenants are encouraged, all my houses are on wind-powered energy, 100%. Now, this doesn't mean that actually it's not affected because when the Ukrainian crisis war has happened, that has affected all of us, whether you had 100% renewable. And this is something that I was very concerned. I was just very shocked because I contacted my companies in I asked them, but I don't have any gas. I mean, everything that I do is just wind solar based. So how can I be, how is it possible that my electricity prices have gone massively high because of that? And the answer from the big companies were that everyone has been affected. So it doesn't matter. And I said, I don't really understand how.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but so it was a very, very, it was very interesting. So I have actually written to the government and I've asked, how is it possible that I've been, you know, I've been using renewable sources for my electricity for years. And in order to avoid situations like this, this comes and still happens. Answer? Absolutely nothing.
So the only problem is, all that energy, the energy that's coming into your house doesn't mean it's going to be green energy, wind, or you're having to rely on the pool of energy. That's the problem. You haven't got nice green cables coming in. You're not sort of got a private wire, unfortunately. That's the issue regarding this. It's the only fallback, unfortunately. So I've done a lot of work on this behind the scenes. So, do you ever consider doing any offsetting? And I don't really like offsetting personally, but is that another thing that you look to do as well?
Perhaps in the future, I would love to do that because I think as a Greenland lady, I want to make sure that we measure actually our carbon input and output. So at the moment, it's something that is very, I can't dictate how my tenants live. I can give them suggestions. I can specify, you know, we only use, one of the first questions we ask our tenants is, are you okay with using just green energy? And if they say no, then we just straight away we say to them, I'm really sorry, but you do not fulfill our criteria for tenants, because okay. we want people who is committed.
Yeah, yeah.
So we want people, and we are very fortunate that in many situations we have people writing to us and telling us why they should actually be living in our houses rather than having to just take any tenant.
That's good.
So you're
developing a eco-friendly tenant as well as a landlord.
Well, that's the aim. That's the
amazing. Dream. I like that.
So we only want to work with people who is energy, conscious. We only want to work with people who is interested in sustainability. There's no point for me. These people know that we have spent a lot more money on these houses, and therefore they are prepared to pay more. Therefore, they're not so price sensitive when it comes to their rent. They know that they are going to pay a premium because our homes are a lot better, and therefore they want to be on those better homes.
Yeah.
One of the things that
are people receptive to that or not?
We do. We have examples where rents have gone up by 30%.
From the tenants you're bringing on, what's the percentage of people that say, I like that, I'm happy to do that, to compare to people that say, no, that's not for us? Is there a high percentage?
It's very rare. Yeah,
right.
Correct. It's very rare that we find someone who says, no, I'm not interested in that. Very, very rare.
That's interesting. We don't tend as well.
Yeah, no, we don't find even social tenants. We have a large portfolio of social tenants, for instance, and we can say to them, this is what we want, this is what we would like you to do. If they change, we have no way of actually being able to, if they change halfway through or they change their mind, this is something that obviously we can't control, because we just do buy to let. Yeah. So they have full access to all the utilities. It's nothing to do with us. But we tend to find that even the council tenants are very, very they're very conscious about environment. Yeah. So I don't believe on this myth of it's just the people with money that can afford. No, I don't. That's not true. Yeah. Because no.
And do you monitor your energy? Would you better identify what your carbon footprint is?
My own as the company?
Yes.
Or the whole portfolio?
The whole portfolio. Is it possible for you to understand that?
Not at this stage.
No.
Not at this stage. We can't. It's because, and simply because, we are unable to actually track and monitor our tenants' behaviors.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously without those behaviors, we don't know. We don't tend to include things like, for instance, we try to avoid machines like dryers in houses obviously they are massively carbon emitters. So we try to avoid them. So we just encourage them to just put washing lines outside. We encourage water butts in order to recycle water for the garden. We encourage. So we do a lot of things in order to encourage people to live more sustainably. So we are looking to actually install electric points at the front for cars so that people is encouraged to actually just, if you want to have your own car, electric car, that's fine. Our houses are prepared for it. So we are trying to help. And as I said, we are on the journey ourselves to just trying to convert all our stock into as efficient as possible.
Yeah. How far down do you go? Obviously, you do the heating system, heat pumps, etc. How far do you go right down, or could you go down to the socket regarding their power consumption?
I think in the future, it would be an amazing thing, because I think that would be very, very good for the tenants themselves to understand.
Yeah.
So if you have sockets like they are at the moment, where they can tell you which is the machines that you are consuming, how much carbon you're consuming, what is consuming most, you would be very conscious. I mean, goodness me, it's like having a massive monitor in your house giving you the red say, stop, it's too heat. You know?
And then you've got solar coming, you could monitor the solar coming in, you could monitor the grid, possibly batteries. If
you could have water. You could also just have sensors inside the house that actually open and close windows. I mean, how amazing is that? One of the things that I do, and I try to do as much as I can, and obviously I'm not a millionaire, so I can't do it all, but I try to upgrade my home with as many gadgets as possible so I can try it out myself, and then I can go out.
I do the same. I do the same in my house. So I think it's really important to actually do that and understand. There's no point me going to talk to a client or an organization without having the knowledge that I know that this, you know, shower head is sufficient. My heating, or, you know, I've got induction heating in my house. Great. When it isn't too, when it goes very cold, I have to put another jumper on. I'll be honest.
It's really
not perfect, but when it's between those stages within the season, I think it's brilliant, you know, and I'm making significant savings. I really like them. They look nice. They look slick. Nice panel on the wall. So I've tried all this, and I intend to keep my sort of vision on that. I think it's important.
Absolutely. It's very interesting that you talked about induction panels, because for me, those are, they work brilliantly in HMOs, where you have a lot of people actually sharing a house, you know, because then they remove, because they're only heating the matter in a way, you know, they don't heat the atmosphere. Because of that, then obviously you have less and less problems with mold and then with damp. So, you know, so it would be amazing. I love the fact that you're using it in your own home. That's, you know, I'm also very keen on actually having them inside the walls, so you don't even see them. You don't even see them nowadays. They are, I mean, the technology available out there is amazing for them.
My bathroom ones just look like a painting. It looks beautiful. It's like a wave. I really like it. And when you walk past it, you get a nice heat off of it. So I like it. I think it's and my energy's gone down significantly. It really has.
It has. I mean, there's plenty of examples on the web. There's plenty of examples on the web showing how efficient it is and how much it is. I haven't installed them. I think this is one of, because of what you just said, I think is a technology that is still to improve. In my views, I think it can be improved and make it that little bit more efficient. And then perhaps, and for the cold spells, then obviously then you don't need that. Let's hope when you don't need that jumper, then let me know and then I'll buy them all and I'll put them on. It's the cheapest thing to do. It's just cheap as chips.
Tell us. I love your accent, and you talk from your London. You got London terminology with your Spanish talk. I like that. So, Raquel, what are your challenges? Tell us what your challenges are currently.
Well, my challenge is that landlords telling me that there's no legislation, not firm deadlines, no nothing. And I'm trying there to lead an industry into a sustainable move, but actually without the backing of the government. So I need clear guidance from the government telling us, okay, just set up the dates, you know, set up the deadlines. Tell me exactly what's going to happen. Don't change your mind. It doesn't matter whether it's the right or the left or the far right, far left. I don't care. Just tell me this is the deadline, and then I can work with that. Also, the other, the bad press that a lot of these technologies get, including the air source heat pump and ground source heat pumps. I mean, how many horrible stories do you hear from them on the press? There's constantly bad stories about people saying, oh, I don't like them, or it doesn't work, oh, it's done this for me. Why? Because things are being taken in the things are being installed without a proper assessment on the property. You know, a heat pump is a cherry on the top of a cake. Yeah. You do not install a heat pump without having sorted out all the other issues and without having a super insulated home. But people don't realize that. And because the way things are written, this bad press is like when we were told, oh my God, there's a crash. Sell your houses. And it was like, it's not a crash. You know, it's just bad press. So I'm having to constantly fight all of this. I'm having to constantly tell people hearsay. There's a lot of hearsay and there's a lot of, there's a lot of industry lack of knowledge and lack of knowledge of the technologies and understanding of how they work. And this is very interesting. I get asked again and again and again, you know, why don't you need to check up on your heat pumps? Why don't you need annual checkups like you would do on a gas boiler? And it's very interesting. I've resorted to just telling people, okay, so how many checkups do you do on your fridge? How many?
Not a lot.
Oh, well, not a lot. I don't do any. Well, there you go. So why would you do it on a heat pump, which works exactly the same?
Can I tell you what I do on my fridge? And I'm happy for everyone to hear this. Okay. I turn my fridge off for an hour and a half every day.
Really?
Yep.
Why would you do that?
Save energy. As long as you don't open the fridge, you're going to have no problems. So
what about the breaking up?
Sorry?
I was just going to say, what about the breaking? What about the fridge? Is he a fridge freezer?
Yeah, fridge. It's a combined fridge freezer. I turn that off for an hour and a half every day. I've had no problems with it.
Oh, wow.
As long as you're not opening it up during that time of the day, you should have no problems.
And everything.
The food doesn't drop off. I don't have any problems with my food going off. And it's only an hour and a half, but it's an hour and a half of saving I've got every single day. And I've been doing that for the last 12 months. No issues whatsoever.
Oh, wow. Well, there might be
something to consider going forward. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. It could be something, one of the tips to send into my tenants.
Yeah.
And if you have, even if you have even more tips like that, then perhaps I can pass them on.
I've got hundreds of tips. I done a radio station interview recently and I rattle them all off. I'll send them to you. I've written some rescue packs for businesses and for householders. I'll share that with you, of course.
Thank you.
So tell us about the future.
The future is green, Paul. I see no other future.
I love it.
You know, there's green. The future is green. There's no way without green. Yeah. We have. There's no planet B. You know, there is. I am a mum of two. I want to see my grandchildren and great-grandchildren enjoy a life and enjoy this beautiful place. And, you know, if all of us don't do something, you know, we'll end up in a really bad place. And I might not see it. My children might not see it. But my great-grandchildren will definitely see that. And for me, that would be a waste. So I'm going to do everything that is in my power just to keep on pushing this green agenda. And I want to get the future for the Greenland ladies to become a certifying body where we will come out to your house and actually say to people, you've got the stamp approval the Greenland lady. Which means that you will have something that is telling you, yes, I'm working towards this. Yes, this house is actually sustainable. It doesn't matter whether it's an old home or it's a brand new home. You will actually have that certainty. And I want to see a future where the tenants are saying, no, I refuse to live in a house that it doesn't help the environment. I don't want to live in a house.
I can help you with that certification, by the way, Raquel. I'll be in contact with someone who would be very good for that, who would listen to what you're saying. And you know what? I need to share this with people. I've known you for circa 2 years. The passion I felt from the first time I met you to where it is today, it's got bigger. I can feel it. The passion. I think you was finding your feet 2 years ago, but now it's just like bang, 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 all the technologies, you know, certification, which I think will be absolutely amazing if you can get that. I can guide you into the right place to go looking for that, definitely.
Thank you. That would be amazing. Obviously, it's not it's something that I want to be able to just share with the whole world. And as I've always said, you know, like Tesla was there to lead the change in the car industry. I think that's where the Green Lawn Lady is gone.
You're the only landlord, may I say, politically correct, who's actually putting it out there regarding sustainability. So hats off to you and keep leading. Keep leading.
Thank you.
Keep being that key person of influence, I say.
Thank you.
Raquel, it's come to that time where I put my, you'll never be put on the spot because you are on the spot, regarding my last question, which is there anything you can give back to our industry today regarding the takeaway?
It's a very interesting question, but it's also a very hard question to answer because what can we take back? What can I give back to the industry? I mean, I say thank you very much to absolutely every single one who works in this industry and is trying to improve our day-to-day. You know, the technology that is improving on a daily basis, I think, you know, this research in technology, we need to put more money into development, more money into improvements. And but I don't take anything away from them. We already have the technology, and it's a massive thank you to the industry because we can make this happen. If we all do it, we can make the change. So we don't need, you know, we are all there. We just need to make sure that many landlords follow us and then end up doing the right thing.
Brilliant. Well, Raquel, I'd like to say thank you. It's really great to see you. And as I say, it feels like I've spoken to you yesterday, but we occasionally send messages. But I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us today, sharing your passion with this group. Really exciting to hear your story and your future regarding certification.
Thank you very much, Paul. And anything I can do to help your landlords, your fellow landlord, then by all means, let me know. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, look, please, you and your family, stay safe in these times.
Thank you. Bye.